Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 43 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. If this is your first time joining me, welcome, and I'm so glad you're here. And for those of you who are returning, thanks so much for coming back. It's been a little over 2 weeks since I recorded. I did say that I would not record the week of Christmas, and then this is the first opportunity I've gotten to record since I've been back. I got sick over the holidays and did not want to subject you to the coughing and sniffly nosed me that was once I got back. I do still have a little bit of a scratchy throat and a little bit of a sniffle, so I apologize in advance for that, and I will try to pause if I feel like I really need to cough. I don't think I mentioned I am Summer. You can find me on Instagram and on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. And I would love it very much if you would join me on our Ravelry group. I would also like to mention, and I have not mentioned this in a very long time, but if you feel so inclined, I would love it if you would head over to iTunes and give me a review. It's been quite a while since we had any new ones, and I would like to increase the possibility of others finding the podcast. So if you get a chance and you feel like doing it, please take some time and do that, and do that for any of the podcasters that you enjoy listening to. It really does help with our ratings and getting people exposed to the podcast and that type of stuff. So what have I been up to? Goodness, there's been a lot. I last recorded the week before Christmas, and since then we have gone on vacation and had Christmas and done all kinds of good stuff. So I will talk about that. I will also talk about some finished objects, works in progress, spinning, a little bit of cross stitch, a little bit of enabling and acquisitions. Thought I'd do a little bit of a year in review. And, of course, we have our giveaways for the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along. And a little bit of In the Kitchen. And some what I'm reading this week, too. So this could be a long one, and I hope you bear with me. What have I been up to? So if you are a regular listener, you may remember that we went to Florida over Christmas. So let me tell you all about that. I'll try to keep it brief. We drove from here to Orlando to visit the world of the mouse and the world of Harry Potter. And it was a very good vacation. We started out, we left on the Sunday before Christmas, so that was the 21st. And we drove from Houston to Tallahassee, Florida, which was about a 10.5 hour drive, I believe. We stopped a little more than halfway and past Christian, Mississippi, which is along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. My sister-in-law and I planned a surprise for my brother, who had a birthday a couple of days before we drove through. His birthday is on the 19th. And he has not been in great health, so it was really nice to see him. My sister-in-law had told me that he has been talking about wanting to come see me, and it's a long trip from Mississippi. So we took advantage of the fact that our paths would be very close to crossing and planned a surprise. Now, it was kind of funny because for some reason, I thought that they were staying in Florida, like on the Florida Gulf Coast, which is a little further along on our trip and a little not as convenient for us by the time, I mean, in our travels on the way to Florida, it wouldn't have been as convenient to stop there. So I had said that we would plan to have dinner on our way back because we were staying fairly close to where I thought they were going to be. Then it turned out that I was completely wrong. My brother texted me the day that they were leaving and said that they were on their way to Pass Christian. And I responded with, oh, I thought y'all were going to Destin. No, they weren't. So in actuality, this was this was really good because it was much more convenient for us to stop for lunch after all, because it was right around lunchtime when we were going to be going through their town or close to their town. And on the way back from our trip, I knew that we would be tired and they were going to have to do a little bit of finagling to work their plan so that they could meet us. And especially turning out, you know, that they weren't staying where I thought they were. So I kind of shuffled around, and you know, my brother and sister-in-law share a cell phone, so I couldn't just text Jenny and tell her, hey, let's change up our plans. So I had to go through my niece, who got her mom to get on Facebook, and we made plans. And I'm really, really glad we were able to do this. We stopped. We had directions to their house, and my sister-in-law met us outside, and we came in, and my brother was sitting across the room, and his vision's not really all that great, and of course he wasn't expecting to see me. And Jenny says, well, you know, look who's here. And he's looking across the room. I wish I had video because I'm making all kinds of facial expressions here. He's kind of squinting at me across the room trying to figure out who the heck I am when it dawned on him that it was his sister. And it was very touching, and he was, you know, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? And so we hugged, and it was you know, one of those heartwarming moments. You get very few of those, and it was a great surprise. So we stayed there for about an hour, long enough to have lunch and catch up for a little bit, and then hit the road. And like I said, we drove to Tallahassee that day, nothing super exciting. And then the next day we got up and we drove to Orlando. We had planned to go to the Kennedy Space Center, and we just got a late enough start that by the time we were going to get there, it wouldn't be worth it. So we changed that plan, went and checked into our hotel, and then we went to Downtown Disney, which is, if you've never been there before, it's basically a shopping area with restaurants and entertainment that is free to get in. It is Disney owned, but it's not inside one of the parks. So we went there for dinner and did a little bit of shopping. And that was all we did that day, which was really nice because we were tired. And the next day we got up, that was on the 23rd. We got up and we went to Magic Kingdom. And we got up very early, before the park opened. It was a little hectic beforehand. We did this before 4 years ago, and our memory was a little different. We remember getting there early and being able to get on the monorail and getting all the way to the gates, and then there was a big wait. Well, here we had to wait at the monorail, and then that was really crowded getting there. But once we got to the park, it was fine. Everybody was kind of dispersed. And we really didn't have to deal with too terrible of crowds until later on in the day. We got to do a lot of what we wanted to do with very little waiting, and it was just generally a really good day. The only downside, I think, well, two downsides. One, the weather was a little warmer than I had expected. So it was hot and sticky. And also, I chose poorly with my shoes. I wore my hiking shoes because I thought they would give me a lot of really good support. Well, they did give me good support, but they also don't have a lot of cushioning. So my feet were really sore by the end of the day. We were there pretty much all day. Highlights of the day, I really liked the Seven Dwarfs mine train ride, which was new. They opened a new ride, a new area, or redid the Fantasyland part of the park. And reopened that, I think it was earlier this year. And that ride was really good. And then we managed to get reservations to Be Our Guest, which is in the Beast's Castle from Beauty and the Beast. And it's one of those things that they say you need to get reservations as soon as the, you know, 180 days before your trip. And of course, we didn't plan like that, and we didn't make those reservations. So I was really surprised. We went to check to see if we needed to get a timed return ticket for lunch. But that was on the recommendation of one of the guidebooks I'd read. And she said that they only did that during the summer when it was really, you know, really busy, but that they had reservations open for dinner. So we jumped on that and came back for dinner, an early dinner at about 4 o'clock. And it was so nice. It was beautiful. It was, if you've seen the Disney Beauty and the Beast, the dining room is in the grand ballroom, and it looks just like the ballroom where Beauty and the Beast danced. And it was just really, really pretty. And the food was really good, which if you are familiar with Disney parks, you know that the food is high priced and mediocre. Well, this food was high priced, but very, very good. It was a very elegant meal, and it was absolutely wonderful. Probably the highlight of our Magic Kingdom visit. So that was that day. And then the next day, we got up and went to Universal Studios so that we could see the Harry Potter worlds. I mentioned that we had been there 4 years ago. And at that point, only the Hogsmeade portion of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter was open. And then this summer, the Diagon Alley portion opened in the other park. Universal Studios has the Universal Studios Park and the Islands of Adventure Park. So we had park-to-park tickets so that we could see both parts of the Harry Potter world. And that in and of itself was worth it. We got there early again. Again, our experience was different than it was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, even though we were there before park opening, they were letting anybody in. This year they weren't. So we had to wait before we could actually enter the park. But we were told by one of the park employees to walk down one of these side roads to wherever the next barricade was and wait there. And that's what we did. And we were right there in front. We basically formed the line for other people that had done that. And actually it was really good because there was an employee who came there who over the course of the next 45 minutes or so would take us just a little bit farther into the park so that once they opened it up, we were already right there where we wanted to go, which was very cool. And ultimately, when they said, okay, time to go, she led us directly into Diagon Alley, exactly where we wanted to be, to where the ride is, where everybody lines up first. So it was actually really cool. And that was my favorite ride at the Harry Potter thing, was the Escape from Gringotts, which you go in to Gringotts, which is the bank in the Wizarding World, and it's a roller coaster inside with 3D effects, and it is very, very cool. Did a bit of shopping. We rode the Hogwarts Express over to Hogsmeade, and Laura and Eli and I rode the big ride there, which is the Forbidden Journey, I think is what it's called. And Jimmy waited for that one. It was really busy by that time, and trying to find a locker for our stuff was a problem. So he decided he would just wait. He didn't mind. He didn't really like that ride that much when we went a few years ago. But we did that, and then the kids rode one of the big roller coasters in that side of the park, and we rode Spider-Man in that side of the park, and then we went back to the other side of the park, and I think the only thing we did, we were going to get ice cream in Diagon Alley, and the line was just too long, and by this time, again, my feet were absolutely killing me. I was ready to go. So we rode the Simpsons ride, which was actually a lot of fun, and then left for the day. That was Christmas Eve, and we had plans that night for, we had dinner reservations at the Melting Pot, which is a fondue restaurant, and that was really nice. And the good thing was our reservations weren't until 8 o'clock, so we were done at the park by probably 3 o'clock, and then had all of this time to rest in the room before we actually needed to go to dinner. So that was really nice. And then dinner, of course, was really nice. If you've ever been to the Melting Pot, it's an upscale restaurant. And it was very elegant. And the kids had never been. They'd never had a fondue experience. So that was a lot of fun. And I was really impressed with the waitress because while we were prepared to spend money for dinner, I mean, it's not a cheap restaurant, and it was Christmas Eve and we're on vacation, so we had planned for this. We were trying to decide what the most economical choices were. And it wasn't, like I said, we were prepared to spend, but we wanted to make sure that we weren't paying more for something that we weren't all going to eat. So, for instance, they have a 4-course meal, which is a cheese dish or a cheese course, salad, entree, and dessert. And none of us were really that thrilled about the salad. So we were trying to figure out if it would be better to do it a la carte. And I was really impressed with the waitress because, you know, rather than, you know, turning her nose up, you know, or looking down her nose at us because we were trying to be frugal, she had a really great idea. You know, she told us that we could just get 2 of the 4-course entrees and share them, that we didn't have, you know, we could share those. We didn't each have to purchase our own, and then just add on a cheese or add on a dessert, which turned out to be a really, really great idea. We had more than enough food, and it was probably half what we would have paid had we all bought 4-course meals. So I was really impressed with that. So that was all for Christmas Eve. Christmas morning, we got up. This was another good mommy moment and daddy moment. We had stopped on the way from Tallahassee to Orlando in Gainesville and had gone to a bookstore there. Just as a, you know, we had eaten some lunch and took a little bit of a break. And the kids had both seen some stuff that they wanted, but we hadn't bought Christmas presents because the trip itself was the present. But they saw these things that they liked, and Jimmy managed to get them out of the way, and I was able to buy them and sneak them in and actually have Christmas presents for them to open on Christmas morning. I forgot to mention, we did bring a little tree. We bought a little tabletop tree that was about $6 at Home Depot. It was pink and tinsely and completely gaudy. But we had the Christmas tree, and I did not have wrapping paper, so I wrapped the presents in toilet paper. Yes, it was really funny. But, so they had presents under the tree. And I was so glad we had done it because the day before, Laura mentioned how, you know, it was fun being at Disney World and it was a really fun trip, but it was kind of sad that, you know, we didn't have the whole, you know, opening the presents thing. And this is her last Christmas at home. Of course, she'll be home for Christmas after, you know, during college, but it was that nostalgic, bittersweet moment. And we were so glad that we actually had something to surprise them with. And it was just something small. We got Eli a little puzzle and Laura a blank notebook that she had liked. But just to have something was nice. So we got up that day. We did that. And then we didn't head to the park quite as early as we had the other 2 days just because we were all tired. And we had decided to go to Animal Kingdom that day instead of Magic Kingdom, which had been our original plan. We had felt like we had seen pretty much everything we wanted to see there a couple of days before, and decided that Animal Kingdom probably would be the least busy of the parks, and I believe we were probably right. And Animal Kingdom reminds me much more of a zoo, except with the Disney-fied versions and rides and stuff like that. But we got there, and it wasn't terribly busy. We didn't have to wait very long we only had to wait long for one ride, I think. And the first thing we did was, it was the Kilimanjaro Safari, I think is what it was called. And you get on these, like, safari vehicles and go through the quote, the safari, where they have all kinds of like African animals, and it was really cool. I actually have pictures of giraffes that were like right up by the car, and we saw rhinos and a crocodile and monkeys and elephants and all kinds of cool stuff. And that was the highlight of that trip, I think, or of that day. And then the rest of the day, it was just kind of taking it easy, taking in the sights. It was much more low-key. It wasn't as busy. And it wasn't until we were getting ready to leave that the crowds really started to pick up. And we stayed probably until about 2 or so. And then headed back to the hotel. We had sushi for dinner that night, which was unremarkable. But we were able to go. I used OpenTable, which is a website to book reservations, which was a really good idea because when we had been there before, the days of our visit coincided exactly. And Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we ended up with choices that weren't that great. And, well, no, one of the days we ate at Epcot, but our Christmas Eve dinner was at Red Lobster, which is blah. So this year we took advantage and made reservations online so that we knew no matter what, we would have some place to eat that we wanted to eat at. So that was a really good idea. Then the next day we got up and headed back towards Texas. We stayed in Pensacola, Florida that night, and we stayed at a hotel that was right on the beach. It was the first time I had ever done that I remembered, and our room actually overlooked, our room actually overlooked the beach, and this was, it was off season, so we didn't pay an arm and a leg for the hotel, and it was really relaxing. I took some great pictures the next morning of the sunset, not the sunrise the next morning, and it was just nice to listen to the waves. It was a really, really nice end to the trip. Unfortunately, I started coming down with my cold the day that Friday when we left. So by the time we got to Pensacola, I was feeling a little bit on the crummy side. We went to a place called Crabs We Got 'Em for dinner, which was really good seafood. I had delicious oysters, and the kids split blue crab claws. Not blue crab, snow crab claws, and I think Jimmy had fried shrimp, and it was a really good dinner. We didn't have to wait. Nothing was terribly busy. Overall, it was a very good trip, and I am really sorry that I spent 23 minutes retelling everything about my vacation, but I hope you enjoyed it. So let's move into finished objects, why don't we, and talk about some knitting. I did finish some knitting before the holidays. I had started a barley hat, and I finished that before we went on vacation. I used Lone Star Arts Big Bend DK in the Lump of Coal colorway, and the hat turned out really well. I still have it. It is a gift for a friend, but I haven't seen them, so it has not been gifted yet. And the only other thing that I finished was a preemie hat, and I had luckily stuck this in. It's actually been living in the bag with my sock yarn blanket, and luckily it was still in there because I needed something extra to work on one day. So I worked on that, and it was made out of, I think it's Sweet Georgia Tough Love yarn, or Tough Love sock yarn in, I don't actually remember, maybe the Violet Hill colorway. I think that's the colorway it was. And I had started it a while back. So I finished that. And then works in progress. I took with me on our trip my sock yarn blanket, which I had not really planned to, and then thought about it and figured if I took it with me, I could actually keep up with the number of days that I needed. And that worked out perfectly. I did 2 squares on one leg of the trip. Actually, 3 legs of the trip, I did 2 squares each. So it was 6, and then one of the days I only did 1 square. So I ended up doing 7 squares while we were gone. And that was very satisfying. And I'm using the free pattern by Shelley King. If you search for Sock Yarn Blanket, you'll find that one. I also brought with me my worsted boxy. And this is a paid pattern by Hohe Locatelli. I'm using Malabrigo Rios and Bobbi Blue. And I did about 3 inches while we were on vacation, which was, again, very satisfying. Gotta love card knitting. And I measured today, and I've done a total of 10 inches. And I have to do 17 inches before I separate for the sleeves. So that is pretty awesome. I figure I could easily do the 7 inches. I can, if I sat and knit on it during a movie, I could easily do an inch. So hopefully if I can stick with working on it, I can get at least that portion done before too terribly long. I have also still been working on the Shirtigal socks. I did not take those with me on vacation, so they have been sitting at work, but I picked them up and worked on them a little bit this week. I am using Wandering Wool in the Helvellyn sock in Royalty, which is a dark blue with some kind of purpley colors in it. And I finished the heel flap yesterday at work. And I still need to turn the heel, do the gusset, and the foot. And considering this is a man's sock, there's still got a bit of a way to go. I'm hoping that maybe if I continue to work on them regularly, I've mentioned before, I typically will work on them over 2 breaks at work, which I take a 15-minute break in the morning and the afternoon, and then at lunch. I'm trying to be better about not going out for lunch, which means I typically have at least 30 minutes to work on socks over lunch. So that's usually about an hour a day I can work on them, and I can get almost a repeat done usually in a day. So hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks I'll actually have these socks finished. I also, on vacation, I worked on my sock head hat, which again I chose it because it was it was an easy pattern and I didn't really have to think about it, so I stuck that in with my knitting. This is a free pattern by Kelly McClure, and I am doing this in Desert Vista Dye Works on the Voir base in Hamburg Philharmonic, which is an almost self-striping blue and gray. A couple of different shades of blue with gray and almost black. I say it's almost self-striping. It is variegated, but it is long repeats, so it spirals, if you know what I mean. And I didn't get very much done on that. It was just one of those things that I picked up when I needed something mindless to work on. Let's see. Okay, those are the only things that I had been, that were already on my needles. I have cast on a couple of new things since I've been back from vacation. I cast on the first pattern in Curls by Hunter Hammerson. And this pattern is called Caesius. It's Caesius, which means blue, I think. I think there's another word in there too, but it basically means blue. And I am doing this in Spartacus Dyes Braverman Sock, which is an 80% merino, 20% silk blend, in the I've Been Impaled colorway, which is, I wish I had it in here to look at, because this is one of those colors that I feel like it gives an impression, and then I look at it and realize it's got so many more colors. It has got, I think it's mostly blues and greens, with a little pops of brown and little pops of pink occasionally. It's very pretty, and it fits the pattern very well. I am very pleased with the pattern so far. It's very drapey, and this particular, I don't know if this will be the case for all of the patterns in the book, but this one was very easily memorized. It's only 4 rows, and I have it memorized now, so as long as I can sit down and do 4 rows and don't end in a weird place, I'm all set. Okay, and then the last thing that I have cast on and I'm working on is the Everdeen Beanie, which is a pattern by Tanis Gray, and it is in the Weekend Hats book, which is by Cecily Glowett McDonald and Melissa LaBarre. And I am using Malabrigo Silky Merino and Amethyst for this. And I've only worked on it, I think, only one day. But I managed to get the brim and, I think, 2 rows of the pattern done. And so far, I'm really, really liking this, too. This will most likely go, I am planning to just start a box to throw hats in for Laura for when she goes to college. And this is one of those that I am planning to add to that. So that is all of my current knitting. What was I working on today? Oh, you know what? I didn't add it on here, but I have also, over the past couple of days, have been working on my Rainbow Dash, which y'all may remember I started about 1.5 years ago. And I am determined I'm finally going to get this one done. So that's my work, my old, let's see, what do the Nick Moore girls say? It's from Area 51. This is my UFO. And I am determined to actually get this one finished before I move on to another one. That doesn't mean I'm not going to knit other things, but I have a list of long-standing whips, which really, I guess, they're my UFOs, not my whips. And I'm going to try to work my way through them this year. That reminds me, I will talk about knitting goals just a little bit right here before moving on to spinning. What are my knitting goals for this year? And what are your knitting goals for this year? My plan, I'm not on a yarn diet, for sure, but I am trying to not let myself buy any yarn unless I just really must have it. I don't, you know, if I see something on Instagram and it's like, ooh, pretty, I'm not necessarily going to go buy it. I want to buy thoughtfully. I have got so much yarn, and it's all pretty. Why do I need to buy more? I've got pretty stuff to knit with. So, for the most part, I'm not going to be buying more. I am going to allow myself occasional purchases, special occasions. If I go to a yarn festival, which next weekend, hopefully I'm going to go to the Yellow Rose Fiber Fiesta, and I, of course, will buy something there. But that's my plan. So, as far as yarn goes, I'm not planning to buy anything. I'm planning to work from stash. And I'm also going to try to do the same thing with my projects. I'm going to try to work from my library. Rather than buy a bunch of new patterns, I'm going to try to knit things that are in my library already, or at the very least that are already queued. But I'm trying to work from my library. So we'll see how that goes. Best laid plans and all. So, spinning. Let's talk about some spinning. Not much to talk about here, but I did work a little bit on the Christmas Magic Bat from Knitting Lanyup, which is wool, Angelina, and silk. I am enjoying it more. I am trying to make myself do a little bit each day. Otherwise, I feel like this bat will never end. And now it's this Christmas bat, and I'm not really wanting to do Christmassy stuff. But at the same time, I don't want to let it sit. So I'm going to keep working on that. I'm also going to try to finish up the... Oh, gosh. What's the... Brazen Stitchery. Right. That I had been working on before, the Polworth and the Rainbow Connection. I have been working on that for way too long, too, and I really want to get that off the spindle. So, that is what I have been working on and what I plan to work on. And not to mention, I have all of these awesome samples from the Fat Fiber Box. I just want to spin all the things. Cross stitch. I did not finish the 12 Days of Christmas sampler before the holidays, which I knew I wouldn't. But I am still making progress. I didn't work on it very much this week just because I was sick and it just was too much effort. And also I had lost my needle, which, oh gosh, don't you hate that? If you cross stitch or you sew and all of a sudden you can't find a needle, no idea where this needle is. And I really hope no one's feet find it at some point. But the only one I had been able to find without a lot of effort was from, it was not a cross stitch needle. It was too blunt. So I just kind of didn't want to work on it. And then today I was feeling much better and pulled out my bin that I was pretty sure I had some tapestry needles in. And sure enough, I found one and replaced it, and today's stitching was much, much nicer. But I want to finish this up. I am on block number 8 of the 12 Days of Christmas, and I am about halfway done with that one. And then the only other one I have to do is block number 12, and then just finish up the border. So it shouldn't take me that much longer to finish this. And then once I do that, I can move on to finishing the Once Upon a Time sampler, which I'm really wanting to do. And then I really, really want to do the 2015 sampler, which is literature based. But I really feel like I need to finish up some other things first. I have a summertime sampler that I started the summer before. And then I have my husband's Christmas stocking that I started a while ago. I don't even remember when I started that. And I need to finish that up also. So I think that that's what my cross-stitch goals are going to be for this year, is to finish up the things that I've already started and not start anything new. We'll see how that goes. Right? Enabling and acquisitions. There's not a whole lot that I actually bought to talk about. But I did buy, I made one, let's see, let me look at this. Yeah, I actually only made one purchase, one yarny purchase, and it was fortuitous. I follow, oh gosh, I think her Instagram name is Love of You, LoveEofEwe. She is the owner of Unassembled Sweaters. And she posted on Instagram the other day that she had decided to focus on her bags rather than yarn. And she was trying to get rid of all of her inventory. And everything that she had was 35% off. So I took advantage of that and I bought 2 skeins of Madeline Tosh sock in tart, which I have wanted for a long time. And I bought this specifically so that I could do something from curls using that, because I thought that would really make a stunning shawl or scarf or whatever you want to call a curl. So that is what I did, and I got that as beautiful as I knew it would be. And then today I got my Christmas package from my mom, who is a free spirit, and she sent me a couple of project bags, actually. She sent me one that was my Christmas present, and then she sent 2 that are kitchen themed, one of which will be the giveaway for the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along, as I've mentioned before, and the other one, which is just for me. And she also sent me a Turkish spindle. Let me tell you about the project bag. So the one that was my Christmas present made me giggle because it is a polka dot bag with a border of alligators. And if you listen to me regularly, you know that I have a thing for alligators. So this was really cute. So very nice wedge bag, very nice size too. And I can't wait to put something in it. I'm sure that I have got something that can go in there quickly. And then I mentioned that she got me a Turkish spindle, which is, it's a nice, it's a full-size Turkish spindle. So the one I have I wouldn't say the one I have is a mini, but it is a smaller Turkish spindle. This one is, she told me it was an ounce, but I think it said it was 1.2 ounces. So I can do something a little heftier on it. Unfortunately, most of my stash right now is merino, but I do have some BFL that I think this would work nicely with. I will talk about the other two bags when I talk about the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along. Just because I want to bore you, haha, I thought I'd do a little bit of a year in review. Just to talk about what I've knit and just a little summary because I like to make lists. So, I counted all of the objects that I finished over the past year. It's possible that not everything is in Ravelry, but as far as I can tell, I have 34 finished projects, which is great. And here's just a little summary of what I knit this year. I did 10 hats, 5 of which were preemie hats, 3 ornaments, 12 pairs of socks, 1 pair of mittens from my hand spun, 4 toys, 2 shawls, which that seems unreal. It seems like I would do it more, but I think that's probably right. 3 cowls, 2 sweaters, and that one's a little cheating because one of them took me 2 years to do, 2.5 years, and I just finished it at the beginning of last year, but still I'll count it. 1 adult size and 1 baby size, 1 bag and 1 bookmark. So that is my year in review. My favorite projects, I looked through them. It was really hard to decide, but what I've decided that I have 6 things that I would consider favorites, and those are the Snowball Buddy that I made right at the end of the year, Baby Groot, Mystic Spiral Socks, my Bonnie Wee Mouse, my Vitamin D, and my Friendship Socks. So if you need good pattern recommendations, I would go with those. All right, we are at the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along Giveaway. Yay! So, the first drawing is for the fourth quarter, which was October through December. And this is a winner's choice. So the winner has the choice of either a $10 or less pattern from Ravelry, a $10 gift certificate to the online shop of your choice, or if there is something that does not have a gift card option that is $10 or less that you would like, you can let me know and I will purchase that and have it sent to you. And you just need to let me know which one you want. And the winner for October through December, drum roll, is Crazy Knitting Fool. It was Kristen from Michigan. So yay, Kristen, contact me and let me know you won, and let me know which one you want as your gift. And yay! The second prize is the grand prize. And this prize was open to anyone who entered over the past year and is currently a member of the group. And the prize is a project bag, an ocean pouch, and stitch markers from Absolute Wonder. And let me tell you what you have the choice of. Sorry, scrolling back up here. Oh, wait, where did I put them? Ah, there we go. I'm sorry. Okay, so my mom sent me 2 project bags, one of which I will keep and one of which will be a gift. And they're both lovely, and I don't want to decide because I would like them both. So what I am going to do is let the winner choose which one that they want. So let me tell you about these bags, and as soon as I post the episode, I will post pictures in the group in this week's episode thread, so you can go and take a look at them and see which one you want. So, the pouch, the Notions pouch is the same. There's it for both bags, so no difference there. It is a little, I don't know how, it's like a little mini wedge bag, but it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's like if you look at it from the end, it's kind of like a triangle. If you think about like one of those little coin purses that zips or like pinches at the top, it's kind of that shaped. And I'm sure there's a name for those. But it is made with red fabric that has baked goods and utensils on it, and inside is a print with multicolored utensils. It's really cute. And then the stitch markers will match whichever bag you choose. And they are the stitch markers are the captured bead kind, and then one of them has a stand mixer as the charm. Very cute. So the two bags that you will have the choice of are, one of them is, and these are both large size wedge bags that are very well made. They're quilted, really, really nice bags. And the fabric on the first one is, it has a white background with a row across the top of cooking utensils, like rolling pin, spatula, whisk, and a line. I don't know how to explain. And then the bottom part of it has, I don't know how to explain it without it sounding weird. So it is like the bottom half of women and skirts or aprons or, you know, something like that. They're line drawings, and it's very retro looking, very, very vintage. The colors are turquoise and red. So if you think about, like vintage dish towels or the, like flower bag towels with that, the turquoise and red details, it's those colors. It's very, it just has a very retro feel to it. And then the inside is that same print as the Notions bag with multicolored utensils in different arrangements. Very cute. And then the second bag has, the background is kind of a 50s era kitchen with, like 50s women, you know, with the, just a 50s style. And, when they're baking, and it's in primary colors, very, very 50s looking. It's got like reds and greens and blues and yellows, and just, it has a very, very 50s feel to it. And the inside of that one is a kitchen themed fabric with cooking terms, utensils, food, etc., and primary colors to complement the front of the bag. They're both really nice bags, really cute. I couldn't decide between the two, so I will let you choose which one you want. And the winner for this prize is Miss Ika, who is Erica from Kentucky. So, Miss Ika, if you will contact me and let me know your shipping information, I will get this bag to you as soon as possible. I am notoriously bad at getting things shipped, but I will do my best to get it shipped within the next week or so. I probably won't get to the post office. Well, once you contact me, it will probably be at least the next Saturday before I go. But the good thing is that my post office has one of the self-serve package kiosks. So I actually can go when the post office is closed and get this mailed. So even, you know, hopefully we won't have to wait until I can make it at a time when the post office is open, because that will never happen. So, Miss Ika, let me know. And Kristen, Crazy Knitting Fool, let me know that you heard this, and I will take care of the prizes. So in the kitchen, there isn't a whole lot to talk about. The only thing I really made, the only new thing I made was a frozen peanut butter banana pie out of the Sally's Baking Addiction cookbook that I have talked about the past few episodes. And this was not my favorite. I've always been a little bit wary of ice cream, or not ice cream, of frozen pies. It just hasn't ever really sounded that appealing to me. But I'm being regimented and want to try everything in this book. So this was the next on my list to try, so I tried it. And I don't know, nothing went wrong with it, but I'm not sure what it is that I didn't like, or if it turned out exactly like it was supposed to. So the recipe calls for an Oreo crust. So you take Oreos, mix it with butter, or crush the Oreos, mix it with butter, and put it into a 9-inch springform pan. And then for the filling, you use peanut butter and cream cheese. You whip cream and then fold that in along with, vanilla and, I cannot remember what the other ingredient was. I don't remember. Half and half, maybe? No, that was for the cream. I don't remember. But it's basically this cream cheese peanut butter filling. And then you spread that in. Oh, I forgot. You put a layer of bananas on top of the Oreos, and then you layer the peanut butter filling on top of that. You put it in the freezer and let it... The recipe says to let it freeze for 6 hours. Well, I don't know if the 6 hours is a magic number or if my freezer is too cold, but I did it the night before New Year's Eve and then took it out on New Year's Eve to have. And it was frozen solid. I mean, it's been in the freezer for 24 hours almost. And it did say to let it sit out for 10 minutes before you actually, you try to cut it. But even after 10 minutes, it was still really frozen. So I let it sit out probably about an hour before I tried it. And I tried it and it was okay, but it was still, it just had that frozen, I don't know, it was like really hard ice cream that didn't really taste like ice cream. It tasted like frozen cheesecake, really. And it was okay, but it wasn't my favorite thing in the world. But I let it sit out, and then instead of putting it back in the freezer the next day, or that night, I put it in the refrigerator. And the next morning I had some, and it was really good. It was just the right temperature, it was soft, it was kind of like a French silk pie with that texture. So I was really pleased with it. I'm like, okay, so for future reference, maybe we don't need to freeze it. Well then, after sitting in the refrigerator for another half a day, I had some later that day and it was too soft. So, and the bananas were kind of melty and it wasn't that great. So I don't know. I don't know if there's some magic that I'm not quite getting. I don't know what the magic formula is for getting it to that state that it was the next morning that was really good. So I don't know that I'll make more frozen desserts. It's not necessarily my thing. Might be your thing. Maybe my freezer's too cold. I don't know. But that was the only new thing I made. And then I made on New Year's Eve, I didn't mention New Year's Eve in my what I've been doing because it really wasn't much of anything. We canceled plans because I had been sick. But I did make Tex Mix, which is my version of Chex Mix, which has chili powder and Tabasco and Worcester sauce and I don't even remember what all it has in it. Tony Chachere's Cajun seasoning, olive oil, all over, like different kinds of Chex Mix and, pecans and pretzels. And I use Goldfish this time and Cheerios. I think that's all. It usually has Fritos, but I forgot to buy the Fritos. And so we had that. And that's my favorite snack mix to make. And it's out of a Texas Hill Country cookbook, I think. I don't actually remember the name of the cookbook. I've had it for years, and it's maybe the only thing I've ever actually made out of that cookbook. But I really like that. So if you want a recommendation, I may have talked about that before. I don't know if I've made it since I've been podcasting, but I will put a recipe for that in the group because that is a really good snack mix. So the only other thing that I wanted to talk about is what I'm reading. And I'm losing my voice. Hold on, guys. Whew, I should have brought water in. I knew this was going to be a long one. So I'll talk a little about what I'm reading, but really my focus is more reading goals and my reading strategy. So currently the only thing I'm really reading is The Children's War by Monique Charlesworth. I had started The Luminaries by Eleanor Catton, I think is her name. It was the Man Booker Prize Award winner for, I think it was 2012. And that was for book club. And I was really enjoying it, but it was a slog. And I was getting to the point where I was just tired of reading it, and I was only about 35% through on my Kindle. And I finally decided that I was interested in the story, but not enough to continue reading, so I went and found a summary and figured out what happened. Or, you know, it was kind of a mystery, so you kind of figured that out. But that left me really just reading The Children's War. Again, I've been reading this one for quite a while. I think I started it sometime, probably early December. And I almost always get book time on the bus to work. And I might get a little bit at home, but often I fall asleep within a page or two. And since we're on vacation, I didn't even bring this one with me. I didn't read very much on vacation. But this book is set in World War II. The main character is a half-Jewish girl she's from Germany. But she flees the country, I think it's actually before the war starts. Her mother gets her out to go live with her uncle in Morocco. And then the war starts and her uncle joins the French Legion, and she ends up in Paris, where she meets her father, who is part of the resistance. And it is her struggle, and you know, during the war and trying to survive, basically. And then the other main character is a German boy who's part of the Hitler Youth, but he's a reluctant member. I mean, he's a member because he had to be a member. And the main character girl, Ilsa, her mother ends up as his nursemaid. And so it is about Nikolai's story and Ilsa's story, which is separate, at least at this point. And it's a really good read. I don't know how to explain it. It is very bleak. She is, you know, she's a Jewish girl during World War II, trying to not be caught, basically. It's a very good, I highly recommend it. It doesn't seem like it's terribly easy to get unless I got it through the library. Looking on Amazon, there may be a Kindle version. I'm not really sure. And it looked like the other versions of it were available through third-party sellers. So I don't know how easy it is to get. But it's worth reading if you get a chance. But what I really want to talk about is my reading strategy. I've mentioned before how I mention a lot of the time, I really like lists. And I really like strategy. It just helps me keep my life in order, basically. And when I am faced with a ton of decisions, like which book to read next, I have to have a strategy. That's the only way I can function. So this is my current strategy, and this has been my strategy for a while. It changes every once in a while. I throw in things occasionally if there's just something that I really want to read, or if it's for book club or something like that. But my current strategy is to read three books from my own personal library, books that I've accumulated over the years, that I've bought on Kindle, you know, whatever, if I own them. So I say three for that because I'm really trying to read what I own. It's kind of like knitting from stash, right? So I'm reading from stash. So I'll read three books from the books I own. And then I added yesterday that I want to add I'll read one book from 2014, and I used the Goodreads Choice Awards as my base for that. I went through, yesterday was very slow at work, and to get me through the day, I went through the Goodreads Choice Awards and added the ones I wanted to read to my to-be-read list. So, for every three books that I read from my personal library, I want to read one book from this past year, another book from the adult list of unowned to-be-read books, and one book from the young adult list. So that sounds very complicated, but I have it. I have it in my head. I have my lists. It works well. And I went ahead and chose the next series of books. Not series, but the next several that I'm going to read. Again, it was slow at work yesterday. So I, these are the next 1, 2, 3, next 7 books up, in case you're interested. the first up is, I'm at the end of my cycle, so that sounds bad, my book cycle. So the next one up is a young adult book, and the one that I have chosen is Blank Confession by Pete Hotman. What I will do, I'm not going to give you summaries of these right now, but as I pick one up, I will give you a summary of what I've picked up. So that one is Blank Confession, and then the next 6 up are Lost Continent by Bill Bryson, House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende. I tried to read that a while back, and I didn't get very far, so we'll try again. Killer Angels by Jeff Shera, another one that I've tried before. I tried to listen to it, and this is when I was commuting, and I found myself not paying attention, so I'm going to actually read this one. Everything I Never Told You by Celeste Ng, which is my 2014 choice. Gentlemen of the Road by Michael Chabon. And The Scar Boys by Len Vlahos, which is another YA book. So that is what I have up and coming on my reading list. So I am just past an hour, which is actually better than I thought I would be. And I'm gonna wrap it up. Thanks for listening if you have stuck with me this far. Just a reminder to Crazy Knitting Fool and Miss Ika to get in touch with me to let me know that you heard that you won. I probably will go ahead and ear burn you. At least maybe after a couple of days, or I don't know. I'll probably go ahead and ear burn you, just because it's been a while since I recorded, and just to kind of remind you, just so you'll know. I guess that's it. I don't have much else to say. I will talk to you soon. Like I did mention that I am going to try to go to Yellow Rose Fiber Festival next weekend. If you are going to be there, please let me know in the Ravelry group, or over Instagram, or however you want to contact me. And I don't think I'll be there for a very long time because I am going with my husband. But I'll be there long enough to make at least one or two rounds around the vendors. So if you see me, come say hi. And I will record within a week. I'm not going to record a week from now. Oh wait, no, that's not. I may shift my recording schedule to the weekend, just since I seem to be on a weekend schedule for right now. We'll see how that goes. If I will either record next weekend, or I will wait and record the next Wednesday and get back on the schedule that I was on before. Until then, I hope everyone has a great week, and Happy New Year to everyone.